It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Hi, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and it is again time to talk outdoors for the next 15 minutes. You know, the first segment of our show is brought to you by Young's Wilderness Camp up in Ontario, Canada on Lake of the Woods. The website up there is youngswildernesscamp.com. Folks, I thought what we'd do today is travel around a few lakes. Fishing's been real good. Let's start off with Stan Kuhn. Now, Stan was our guest here a couple, 3 weeks back. Stan guides for catfish down at Lake Fork. Stan, good morning to you, buddy.
Morning, Luke. How are you this morning?
I couldn't be better, and I just wonder how the fishing is down there at Fork for catfish.
Well, the fishing have really been good here the last 2 weeks. They finally started moving out a little bit deeper. We got into them in 29-foot and around 35-foot. Some of them still had some eggs in them, but we tried some shallower water fishing and didn't have any luck, so we moved out deeper, and that's where we found all the fish. And they were really turned on last Sunday and Monday during the holiday weekend.
It's good to know that right there at Lake Fork, there's another species, isn't it? It's not all about black bass, Stan. That's true. Are you baiting pretty heavily with the range cubes to attract them now?
Right now, Luke, I am baiting out with some range cubes and corn and going out there, and I don't sour it. I just sprinkle it all around the boat where the area I'm fishing, and that seems to draw them in. I know a lot of people sour their corn and everything, and when I tried that a couple of years ago, it seemed to have drawn in the smaller fish. So I stopped souring my stuff and just go out there and I sprinkle those range cubes around the boat, and that's what seems to be drawing them in regularly for me. I didn't do any chumming when I was up in the shallower water, but in the deeper water I do chum.
You know, Stan, regardless of whether you're talking shark fishing down on the coast or catching crappie or catfish, I always learn something new. I've been around fishing a lot in the outdoors most of my life, but that little point that you brought up, corn. You're talking about shell corn just like you'd put in a deer feeder, right?
Yes, sir. Just regular deer corn is what I use.
You know, now that's an interesting thing right there to me. It's very interesting, the fact that you've told me in the past when you clean the fish, they're eating that corn, and that stuff is not soft. It's not, I don't guess you, is it just right out of the bag, you know?
Right out of the bag, and I know they're eating it because I'm seeing it in their bellies when I'm cleaning them.
Now, that's amazing. It really is to me and probably a lot of other people, where you could think, well, yeah, if you soured it or at least let it set in water for 2 or 3 days to soften up, you know.
Right.
But that's amazing, and I'll be honest with you, I never knew that. I never knew that they would...
No, the Milo, you know, when you sour the Milo is what gets a good smell to it. But I stopped buying the Milo because the price of it got a little expensive, so I just strictly now just use corn and range cubes, and that seems to be doing the trick for me.
Well, the main thing is, it's like you say, yeah, it's doing the trick and it's working. Now, the range cubes underwater, I've never really watched one, but I'm going to assume it'll stay together a little while, but it's probably going to start dissolving fairly quick, right?
Sure, they start dissolving, and I believe that's what puts out a film, and some of these bigger catfish are eating those range cubes whole, because I've found them in their bellies just whole cubes.
No kidding. Wow.
Definitely coming to that smell of those range cubes.
You know, on another note, and this is just strictly speculation, catfishing, no doubt chumming, baiting up a hole, we'll call it, it works wonders, especially in the summertime. I just wonder about, say, for instance, something like goat pellets or laying pellets or something like that, other than range cubes, you know, a compressed feed. Have you ever tried anything like that?
I haven't ever tried any goat pellets, but... I don't know why that wouldn't work.
Well, on the
they sink?
Oh, yes, they do.
That's what you want them to do. You want them to sink. You don't want them to stay on top of the water. But if they would sink, I don't know why that wouldn't work.
That are you know, like pellets for chicken, something like that.
That's
interesting. I need to do a little experimenting on my own, because souring the maize, which I've done, and wheat, too. I've soured wheat.
Right.
In the past, but it's a lot cleaner way, and
it
it's a lot
cleaner, you don't get it all over your boat.
Yeah, it's just handier.
And it goes out pretty good and just sinks right there, right around the area that I'm fishing in. And
you
and
bet
it works.
Folks, our guest is Stan Kuhn down at Lake Fork. Stan's guided for number of years down there for catfish. Stan, if you would, describe the rigging that you use, the hook size, and how you rig up the terminal end of it, and
okay,
what kind of bait, you know?
I'm using size 6 treble hooks, and I'm fishing them on an ultralight fishing rod where I can detect the bite. The bite is like a crappie bite, and a lot of times you'll be sitting there holding the rod and never even feel the bite. They will pick that bait up and come up with it in your line. You just got to watch your line. But they don't hit that doe bait very aggressively like they would a minnow or something.
Right.
You know, they attack a live bait a lot more aggressive than they do this doe bait. But if you had a heavy rod, I think they would get that bait right off of your hook without you even, you know, getting the feel of the bite. So that's why we produce a lot of fish, is because we're using ultralight gear, and plus it's fun to catch them on that ultralight gear.
Oh man, it is. It's a battle, and you know, a lot of people do not realize that finesse fishing for catfish, if they don't think, they just think a big hook, a chunk of liver, and throw it out on the bottom, but catfishing, there's a whole lot more to it than that, isn't
there
it?
There really is, and people just don't realize. You know, you don't have to have a big old heavy-duty rod to bring in a good fish.
Like you say, you better not have one.
You have to finesse them in, though, or they can wrap up around some trees, or, you know, we'll break you out. We do lose some fish, but we catch more than we lose.
Yeah. Well, there's a big catfish tournament coming up soon, right, at Lake Fork?
Yeah, we got the Lake Fork Sportsman Association is putting on the Yannis Catfish Classic that's coming up June 23rd and 24th. It'll be a two-day tournament. And there's $26,000 in cash and prizes that they're going to be awarding out, and they're paying the top four catfish every hour.
Well, Stan, folks can go to any of the marinas down there and get an entry form. Probably all the marinas down there at Lake Fork, right?
Yes, sir. Most all your stores around here have the entry forms to fill out. And I believe you can pull up the Lake Fork Sportsman Association's website, and they have the entry form on their website where you can enter online.
Okay. You could just Google Lake Fork Sportsman's Association, probably, and go to their website. Well, that's good, Stan. I'd like you to do this. Leave your website for people that might want to contact you, learn more about catfishing. You've been doing it a long time down there, and you know a lot about it, where they could check you out online, and then maybe a phone number if they want to talk some catfishing.
Okay, my phone number is area code 903-383-2921, and my website, you can reach me at www.thecatfishguide.com.
Stan, thanks very much, and we'll get you back before too much longer and let you keep everybody tuned in. How about it?
Okay, Luke.
Folks, I tell you what, let's do now. Let's shift down to Lake Levan. Now, guide Billy Kilpatrick's been our guest many times through the years, and he's waiting to tell you what's going on. Billy, are you there this morning?
Yeah, here on the phone, doing good.
Good deal, man. Well, the last time we checked in with you was a couple weeks ago, the crappie fishing. They'd moved deep. Kind of what's a pattern for the crappie right now, bud?
Well, they're on what I call summertime pattern, and you know, they're anywhere out in, you know, 12 to 18 to 20 foot water, and that's where they'll be all summer.
So it's pretty standard right now. Are you fishing mostly, you know, brush piles, or how about timber? For not everybody knows where to find the brush piles, you know. Can they catch them around timber too?
Oh yeah, right now the railroad trestle at Mallard around the concrete pillars, there's a lot of crappie being caught right there. You know, just you can tie up, and the water there is about 26, 27 feet deep, actually, and they're suspended in there 18 to 20 feet deep. One of my favorite places is northwest of Tiki Creek Park over there. There's a tree line that runs for 3 or 4 miles down through there, and it's just thousands and thousands of monarch trees in there, and that's where we're catching most of our fish right now.
I'm with you. Folks, our guest is guide Billy Kilpatrick. Billy's out in the boat right now. I believe I hear a little wind noise, but that's okay. We have to put up with that, Billy, to get this good fishing information. We wouldn't want to talk to a fishing guy that stayed in the office all the time, would we?
That's right.
Well, we appreciate the tips. Minnows or jigs working best?
Well, I fish minnows this time of year mostly, but the jigs are working good too. A chartreuse, just solid chartreuse. A jig, a dark green-headed jig with a lime tail working real good. And, you know, I like to use the 8-ounce head because I like to, when I get it around any kind of timber, I like to bump the timber because that's normal natural reaction for a shad running through, and the crappie seem to hit it a lot harder like that.
That's something you taught me a long time ago. Well, Billy, how about a phone number for people to jot down if they want more information on crappie fishing out at Levon? How can they reach you?
Sure, 214-232-7847.
Well, good fishing to you, buddy, and we'll get you back soon, and we'll get some more tips. How about it? Folks, now let's travel down to Tawakoni. Now, guide Michael Littlejohn is standing by with us. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, good morning, Luke. How are you?
Couldn't be better, buddy. Tell us what the hottest thing is on the fishing scene down at Tawakoni right now.
Well, I tell you what, the crappie down here at Tawakoni seem to be kind of taking the cake, at least with my customers.
Mm-hmm.
These crappie have really pulled tight to brush piles. They're even starting to pull off the bridge pilings. And they're really holding tight to brush, and we have just been doing a really good job catching these fish this past week.
Awesome. Are you using minnows or jigs, Michael?
Well, it's about 50-50, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the customers are wanting to use minnows.
Yeah.
I think jigs are out catching the fish, but the minnows are putting fish in the boat as well.
Well, it gets into the skill level when you're shifting from minnows to jigs. I mean, you know, not everybody's a jig fisherman, but what's the depths again that most of them are holding?
We're starting to get our fish a little deeper. The water temperatures are up in the lower 80s now, mm-hmm. and I have seen most of the fish caught anywhere between 14 and about 21 feet.
That's good. Something that you told me when you were catfishing, and actually when you were hammering those big hybrids last time we had you on the air, is catching some nice blues on cut bait out on the end of some of those points. Do you think that would hold up if a person were to spend the time, and if you could lure yourself away from the crappie, you think that would work on the blues?
Well, I tell you what, we had a live bait hybrid trip just a couple days ago, and we struggled to put enough fish in the boat, enough hybrids in the boat, because the blue cats were eating us up. So I think that is going to hold really well, Luke, for the next at least 4 to 5 weeks. And I don't see why anyone can't go out and get in about 28 to 32 foot with cut shad, drop down on the edge of points and ledges. And if you're patient, you're going to get those fish in there, and they're going to bite.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we've got a newspaper article planned coming up here in a few weeks. Actually, we probably need to get the legwork done in the next couple of weeks. But that along with the crappie, we could give a lot of technique, and I think a lot of people, especially up in Northeast Texas there, would enjoy learning some more tips. The last newspaper article we did, I got a lot of really good input from it. Is in the Greenville Herald Banner and several other papers, but what people liked was the fact that you gave a lot of real pertinent information, and that's what outdoor writing is all about. So hats off to you on that, buddy.
All right. Well, I'm glad we can help.
Now, let's do this. Let's leave a website, your website, and then a phone number for people that might want to give you a call.
Absolutely. If you wanted to see some neat videos and some pictures of these fish we're catching, go to www.tawakoniguideservice.com or call us at 903-441-3937.
Well, Michael, one last question. The white bass, the sand bass, are they still holding on the points pretty tight?
Absolutely. The sand bass are just going bonkers right now. We're starting to see a lot more mid-depth, this 10 to 16 foot, and the fish are pulling up off the bottom, and they're in that mid-level. Down 4 to 6 foot below the surface, so retrieving rattle traps and slabs are putting fish in the boat.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you very much, Michael, and we'll get with you real soon, okay?
All right. Thanks, Luke.
Well, folks, that pretty much wraps us up for today. I hope these fishing tips by these professional guys help you. These guys make their living out on the water. They're there every day, and you can pretty much take to the bank what they tell you. They can't tell you the GPS coordinates on their hotspots, but if you listen closely, you can learn something by the tips that they give. You know, the second portion of our show was underwritten by Young's Wilderness Camp up in Ontario, Canada. Right in the middle of Lake of the Woods on an island is where they're located. You can go online to youngswildernesscamp.com and check them out. Until this time next week, have fun and be safe in the outdoors.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.